I and my friends are the last. Jake took Oi from Roland. The bumbler at once began to lick the boy's swollen face. His gold-ringed eyes were full of adoration and happiness.
It's Blaine, Jake whispered to Roland, isn't it?
Roland nodded. Of course it was. But he had an idea that there was a great deal more to Blaine than just a monorail train. Boy, are you Jake of New York? Jake pressed closer to Roland and looked up at the speakers.
Yes, he said. That's me, Jake of New York, son of Elmer.
Do you still have the Book of Riddles, the one of which I have been told? Jake reached over his shoulder, and an expression of dismayed recollection filled his face as his fingers touched nothing but his own back. When he looked at Roland again, the gunslinger was holding his pack out toward him, and although the man's narrow, finely carved face was as expressionless as ever, Jake sensed the ghost of a smile lurking at the corners of his mouth. "You'll have to fix the straps," Roland said as Jake took the pack. "I made them longer."
"But Riddledy-Dum?"
Roland nodded. Both books are still in there.
"What you got, little pilgrim?" the voice inquired in a leisurely drawl.
"Cripes," Jake said.
It can see us as well as hear us, Roland thought. And a moment later he spotted a small glass eye in one corner, far above a man's normal line of sight. He felt a chill slip over his skin and knew from both the troubled look on Jake's face and the way the boy's arms had tightened around Oi that he wasn't alone in his unease. That voice belonged to a machine, an incredibly smart machine, a playful machine, but there was something very wrong with it all the same.
"The book," Jake said. "I've got the riddle book."
"Good." There was an almost human satisfaction in the voice. "Really excellent." A scruffy, bearded fellow suddenly appeared in the doorway on the far side of the kitchen. A blood-stained, dirt-streaked yellow scarf flapped from the newcomer's upper arm.
"Fire's in the walls!" he screamed.
In his panic, he seemed not to realize that Roland and Jake were not part of his miserable subterranean quartet.
"Smoke on the lower levels! People killing themselves! Something's gone wrong! Hell, everything's gone wrong! We gotta—"
The door of the oven suddenly dropped open like an unhinged jaw. A thick beam of blue-white fire shot out and engulfed the scruffy man's head. He was driven backward with his clothes in flames and his skin boiling on his face. Jake stared up at Roland, stunned and horrified. Roland put an arm about the boy's shoulders.
"He interrupted me," the voice said. "That was rude, wasn't it?"
"Yes," Roland said calmly. "Extremely rude."
"Susanna of New York says you have a great many riddles by heart, Roland of Gilead. Is this true?"
"Yes." There was an explosion in one of the rooms opening off this arm of the corridor. The floor shuddered beneath their feet, and voices screamed in a jagged chorus. The pulsing lights and the endless blatting siren faded momentarily, then came back strong. A little skein of bitter, acrid smoke drifted from the ventilators. Oi got a whiff and sneezed.
"Tell me one of your riddles, gunslinger," the voice invited. It was serene and untroubled, as if they were all sitting together in a peaceful village square somewhere, instead of beneath a city that seemed on the verge of ripping itself apart. Roland thought for a moment, and what came to mind was Cuthbert's favorite riddle.
"All right, Blaine," he said, "I will. What's better than all the gods and worse than old man Splitfoot? Dead people eat it always, live people who eat it die slow." There was a long pause. Jake put his face in Oi's fur to try to get away from the stink of the roasted gray.
"Be careful, gunslinger."
The voice was as small as a cool puff of breeze on summer's hottest day. The voice of the machine had come from all the speakers, but this one came only from the speaker directly overhead.
"Be careful, Jake of New York. Remember that these are the drawers. Go slow and be very careful."